Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. Alan J. Huth shares a Bible passage with comments from over 35 years of his personal Bible reading journals and applies the Word of God to our daily lives.
Today we are in 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll listen to Faith Comes by Hearing's reading of the 15 verses of this chapter.
1 Timothy 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control.
This was a short but power-packed chapter, so let's begin with my journal in 2012. I wrote, "Pray for all people. Pray also for people in high positions, that life might be quiet and peaceful. Life is hardly described today as quiet and peaceful. It is hectic, overwhelming, too busy, noisy. God desires all to be saved." That's quoting verse 4. How? One God, one way to Him, Jesus. This is verses 5 and 6. This is not Christian doctrine. It is biblical doctrine. God is exclusive, one way to heaven. And then roles of women in the church. Controversial. Really, no kidding, huh? We're going to talk about that a little bit later. My journal entry in 2002, remember, was from Bangkok, Thailand, where I wrote, "God wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. There's only one way that that will happen, through Jesus Christ. Many believe there are several ways to God. Christians believe there is only one way, through Jesus, one mediator between God and men." And now from my journal all the way back in 1992, let's see what I had to say about some of these controversial issues in this chapter. I wrote, "Pray. Pray for all men, for those in authority, so we can lead a tranquil and quiet life in godliness and dignity." Tranquil, what a forgotten word. There is not much tranquility in the world today, at least not where I live. People are going 100 miles an hour and burning out at that pace. I want to step aside from the journal for a moment because I wrote that 25 years ago. The pace of life in those 25 years has been turbocharged. Who would say you live a tranquil life? Who would say your life is peaceful and quiet? Maybe it's because we forgot the next two words in verse 2, godly and dignified in every way. Our lives certainly don't depend on those in high authority, kings or those in high positions, but if they were godly and they were dignified in every way, our lives might be more peaceful and quiet. But the same holds true for us, doesn't it? Is your life godly? Is it dignified? Or are you just running with the herd? Maybe this passage will remind you to take some time to think about what it would take to actually live a peaceful, quiet, tranquil life. It may mean making some changes, not keeping up with those around you. Verse 3 says, "This is good, and it is pleasant in the sight of God our Savior." Is the pace of your life good, and is it pleasing in the sight of God your Savior? I continue with my journal entry in 1992. Next thing I wrote was, "God desires that all would be saved. However, He won't force us. We have the choice to stay unsaved." Then I wrote, "One God, the man, Jesus Christ." And I wrote, "Men should pray." And then I wrote, "Women should reflect godliness, be submissive, and not be over men." Why? Because that's what the Word of God says. Like other situations in life, we can't have everyone with authority. God has selected men to lead and women to receive instruction with submissiveness. If men would lead, women would be more likely to follow. But because most men won't lead, women fill the gap. Remember, that was a journal entry 25 years ago, 1992. So first, let's talk about God's desire. Then we'll talk about men and women. 1 Timothy chapter 2 is a very clear gospel message. It says in verse 2, "God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all." Let's not think about our own philosophies. Let's not think about what our churches teach. Let's think about what the Word of God says right here. The passage clearly says that God desires that all people be saved. Then he says how that happens. One God, one mediator, Christ Jesus, who gave himself so that we could be saved. That's why Christians are labeled one-way Christians. There is no other way to be saved than through Jesus Christ. That's what the Word of God says. Not what I say, not what your pastor says, not what your church teaches. It's what the Word of God says. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." That name is Jesus Christ. But as I wrote in my journal in 92, God desires that all would be saved. However, He won't force us. We have the choice to stay unsaved. So today, you can choose to believe what we've heard and read, or you can choose to reject it. But God's word is clear. He loves you, and He desires that you be saved. Now let's cover men and women in the church. Again, let's not worry about what I think, or what you think, or what we think, but let's just read what the Word of God says. Let's look at verses 12 and 13. "I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve." This is about creative order. It's about how God created man and woman. So let's go back to where that happened in Genesis chapter 2. In verse 7, the Word of God says, "Then the Lord formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." In verse 18, the word continues, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Verse 21 continues, "So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs, closed up its place with flesh, and the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman." Verse 23 says, "Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." In Genesis chapter 3, when sin enters the world, God says this to Eve, "Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." My English Standard footnote on this verse is pretty clear, so let me read it so we can have clarity on this issue. "Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." These words from the Lord indicate that there will be an ongoing struggle between the woman and the man for leadership in the marriage relationship. The leadership role of the husband and the complementary relationship between husband and wife that were ordained by God before the fall have now been deeply damaged and distorted by sin. This especially takes the form of inordinate desire on the part of the wife and domineering rule on the part of the husband. The ongoing result of Adam and Eve's original sin of rebellion against God will have disastrous consequences for their relationship. 1. Eve will have the sinful desire to oppose Adam and to assert leadership over him, reversing God's plan for Adam's leadership in marriage. But 2. Adam will also abandon his God-given pre-fall role of leading, guarding, and caring for his wife, replacing this with his own sinful, distorted desire to rule over Eve. Thus, one of the most tragic results of Adam and Eve's rebellion against God is an ongoing, damaging conflict between husband and wife in marriage, driven by sinful behavior of both in rebellion against their respective God-given roles and responsibilities in marriage. I understand that biblical teaching on this issue may not be popular today, but it is still biblical teaching. The passage in Genesis refers to creative order. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that refers to spiritual headship. Let me read that one too. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. So the passage in 1 Timothy chapter 2 stirs up two very, very important biblical truths. There is creative order and there is spiritual headship. Those are biblical views. As we close out 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's not get lost in the controversy about the role of men and women, but let's focus on God's love. The most important verse to me in this chapter is, God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Lord, we can get stirred up about the culture of our day, the role of men and women. But in this chapter, you remind us to first of all pray for all people, including those in high positions and have leadership over us. But most importantly, Lord, you remind us that you desire that all people be saved. Help us, Lord, to do all we can to make sure that happens by sharing our faith with others. Remind us to tell people about Jesus. Remind us to share that most famous verse in all the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's your desire, Lord, and we thank you for loving and caring for us so much that you gave your only son that we can be saved. Hallelujah. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.